Peace does not depend on all circumstances being quiet and calm. There can be peace in the midst of the storm, and that is what you gain in true worship. What is the Almighty that we should serve Him, and what profit should we have if we pray to Him? Well, that question from the ancients is valid for us today. Who is God, or why should we serve Him? What profit do we receive from praying to Him? If you've not asked these questions, many others have, so let us investigate the benefits of worship. First, worship develops a love relationship with God. There is a beautiful exchange experience when you come before Him with the Spirit. You are worthy. I am not worthy. It does not belittle you. It exalts you instead. As you see God as He truly is and yourself as you truly are, you appreciate the more His grace in your salvation. And so you grow to love Him more than you have ever loved Him before. Develop the Spirit expressed in Psalm 95, verse 6. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. God was moved by love when He planned our salvation, and God was moved by love when Jesus died for our redemption. God was moved by love when the Holy Spirit effected our salvation by birthing us into the family of God. God was moved by love when He took up permanent residence in us by the indwelling Holy Spirit. God was moved by love when He spread His love abroad in our hearts. And the greater is our experience of worship, the greater is our love for Him who first loved us. One of my little granddaughters came and climbed up on my lap, putting her head on my shoulder, and she laid there without saying anything. I asked, "Are you not feeling well?" She replied, "I feel fine. I just needed a little snuggling." Well, in like manner, worship permits us to draw near to God and to experience the love relationship of snuggling up to Him. Second, worship leads to an abhorring of self. You read the book of Job and look for the change in his attitude. At first, he insisted on his innocence. "I have done nothing to suffer like this," he insisted. "If only I could meet God, I would insist on my innocence." His three friends came, and a long conversation followed between them. When it was ended, God appeared to Job. He pointed out the majesty of His person and the scope of His power. And Job responded, "I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." The more clearly one sees God, the less he thinks of himself. Too much emphasis on self is a form of idolatry. When a person places his will in preference to God's will, it is the grossest form of sin. But when a person humbles himself before God as a creature before the Creator, it is the highest form of righteousness. Humbling yourself will not belittle you. It greatens you instead. Jesus said, "Whosoever exalts himself shall be abased, but he that humbles himself shall be exalted." A paradox of the Christian life is the way up is down. Strange, isn't it? The Bible says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time." You bring yourself down, God will lift you up. That's the benefit of worship. Third, worship affords the opportunity of prayer. Consider this testimony of a praying man. "Come in here, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what He hath done for my soul. I cried unto Him with my mouth, and He was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily, God has heard me. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, who has not turned away my prayer, nor His mercy from me." You examine the worship ceremonies described in the Bible, and prayer held a large part in ancient Hebrew worship, the same as in true worship today. It is one way we commune with God, and worship is communion with God. It is impossible to have a true service of worship unless there is a lifting of the heart to God. It may be audible prayer or silent communion, but it must be there for true worship to transpire. It is reported of the earliest Christian converts, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in breaking of bread and in prayers. Notice that prayer is listed along with teaching, fellowship, and church ordinances as a part of worship. I wish we could have a preparation time before each worship service begins. It would be a time of quiet when we refrain from talking with people about us and just seek the face of God in prayer. And then our worship would be dynamic. Will you practice that quiet seeking after God in the next worship service that you attend? Fourth, worship produces a passion for the lost. I've traveled widely in my ministry, and so often I've seen a beautiful sunrise or sunset or perhaps a beautiful mountain scene, and I thought, I wish my wife could see this now. And just so, when we are in divine fellowship of worship, you think of those you would like to share it with you, and that creates in you a passion for the salvation of those who are lost. The Apostle Paul wrote, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Now, why was he so deeply concerned? He was concerned for the salvation of his countrymen. It was because he knew by experience what it means to know God, and he wanted them to know him also. And again, he expressed the great concern by saying, Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. If you truly meet God in worship, your concern for the unsaved will be stirred to a fervent concern, which will be expressed in your praying and witnessing. Fifth, worship will produce in you a tranquility of spirit. Our world is a difficult place in which to live in peace. Violence is all about us, in our society, even in our entertainment. There is tension between nations, regions, races, religions, employer-employee, political parties, ball teams. The list could go on and on. Where do we find peace in a turbulent society? God gives the answer through his prophet Isaiah. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. Trust in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. A group of artists were commissioned to paint a scene which portrayed perfect peace. One painted a beautiful mountain meadow with cattle grazing calmly. Another pictured a mother gently rocking her infant to sleep. But the artist who won the prize painted a turbulent waterfall. The water was thundering in its descent, and the spray was all about. But on the limb of a tree, suspended over that turbulence, was a little bird sitting serenely on her nest, protecting her young. Peace does not depend on all circumstances being quiet and calm. There can be peace in the midst of the storm, and that is what you gain in worship. The prophet Habakkuk wrote a brief book of only 3 chapters. It is to be found among the so-called minor prophets of our Old Testament scriptures. He foresaw a foreign invasion of his country. He knew his nation would be overthrown and multitudes of her citizens would be taken away into captivity. He knew that devastation would come upon the land. But even in that terrible time, he said, Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. O Father, keep reminding us of the value of worship. We promise to seek your face more diligently and to worship more sincerely. So help us to forget about ourselves in our hunger for you. And let us know the thrill that comes by a personal encounter with God. For Jesus' sake, amen.